This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Thank you. Here are Thursday's closing grain futures quotes from the Chicago Board of Trade. March corn, 389 and three quarters, up 6. May corn, 397 and three quarters, up 5 and three quarters. July corn, 405 and a quarter, up 5 and three quarters. March soybeans, 1007 and a quarter, up 11 and a half. May soybeans, 1011 and a quarter, up 12. July soybeans, 1015, up 11. March wheat, 527 and three quarters, no change. May wheat, 519 and a half, down 4 and a quarter. July wheat, 521 and three quarters, down 4 and a quarter. Now time for your cash grain report from the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Thank you. This is Jerry Milberg with the Illinois Department of Agriculture with Thursday's Grain Market Report. The Illinois country grain prices ended mostly higher on Thursday afternoon. Corn and soybeans drew support from the USDA's early estimation of a lower planted acres for both corn and soybeans. And in northern and western Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids up 8 to 12 cents at 362 to 385, while soybeans gained 10 to 11 cents at 977 to 999. In central Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids up 6 to 9 cents at 358 to 387, and soybean bids were 11 to 13 higher at 985 to 1012. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids were up 6 to 7 cents at 373 to 391. Soybeans gained 11 to 17 at 986 to 1023, and the wheat bids were steady to 2 cents lower at 430 to 504. Illinois soybean processor cash soybean bids were 12 cents higher at 1013 to 1027. Basis ended steady, ranging from 6 to 20 over the March. Hi-Pro 48% soybean meal on a truck basis offered at $367.50 to $377.50 per ton. That's up $8.90, with basis steady, ranging from 20 to 30 over the March. Illinois corn processor cash corn bids were 4 to 6 higher at $390 to $397, with basis steady to 2 cents lower, ranging from option to 7 over the March. Illinois River Barge Winning Elevators quoted producer corn bids 3 to 6 higher at 380 to 390, with basis steady to 3 cents lower at 10 under to option the March. Soybeans ended up 11 to 13 at 1015 to 1022, with basis ending mixed, range from 8 to 15 over the March. East St. Louis Barge Loading Terminal Elevators placed their producer corn bids 5 to 8 higher at 406 to 408. These same elevators raised their soybean prices by 12 to 16 cents, with quotations at 1047 to 1050. Soft wheat bids were steady at 528 to 538, and Milo ended up 6 at 450 to 465. Contract bids to producers for new crop delivered grain in northern and western Illinois. Country elevator bids to producers in those regions for new crop corn range from 372 to 390. New crop soybean bids at 930 to 951. In central Illinois, new crop corn bids range from 375 to 390, new crop soybean bids at 951 to 961, and in the southern part of the state on Thursday, new crop corn bids range from 376 to 390, new crop soybean bids at 928 to 956, and wheat bids for June-July delivery in southern Illinois, those bids range from 481 up to 510. That completes our country grain report for Thursday. This is Jerry Milberg with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
And here are Thursday's closing livestock futures quotes from the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. February live cattle, 158.92, down 25 cents. April live cattle, 151.50, down $1.12. June live cattle, 144, down 70 cents. March feeder cattle, 202.55, down 55 cents. April feeder cattle, 201.57, down 50 cents. May feeder cattle, 290, down 45 cents. April lean hogs, 67.05, up $2.82. May lean hogs, 76.72, up $2.32. June lean hogs, 81.45, up $2.20. Now time for your cash livestock report from the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Thank you. This is Bob Reese with the Illinois Department of Agriculture bringing you Thursday the 19th afternoon livestock report. From the Illinois Direct Sow Report, slaughter sows are trading $1 to $2 lower with moderate demand for moderate offerings. U.S. 1 and 3 grade sows under 400 pounds were 26 to 33, 4 to 5 weights 29 to 35, 5 to 6 weights 31 to 36, and 6 weights and up 34 to 37. On the Illinois Direct Hog Trade, barrels and gilts at country buying points were trading $2 lower with moderate demand for moderate offerings, ranging from $33 to $38. Receipts for Illinois hogs today total 10,626 head. And now the report from the Greenville Livestock Auction. They had receipts of 236 head. Starting with the choice slaughter steers, they were 160 to 163. Select and choice 150 to 159. Choice slaughter Holstein steers 149 to 150, and select and choice were 140 to 145. Choice slaughter heifers 159 to 163, and select and choice were 150 to 159. Now on to the opening report from the Walnut Livestock Auction. They had receipts of 153 head. Starting with the choice slaughter steers, they were 158.50. Select and choice 144 to 152.50. Choice slaughter Holstein steers 143.50, and select and choice 132 to 143. Choice slaughter heifers 160.75 to 161.75. Select and choice were 153 to 158. Now from the National Daily Pork FOB Plant Report, trading for retail and processing cuts were established with 359 loads traded. Calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass was $72.32, and that was 12 cents lower. In the direct cattle trade from the National Daily Direct Slaughter Cattle Report, steers on a live basis were $158.50 to $161, and on a dress basis, 256 to 258. Heifers on a live basis traded at 160 and on a dress basis 258. From the National Box Beef Cutout Report, values for choice and select beef carcasses were trading higher. Choice carcasses were $239.92, that was 14 cents higher, with select carcasses at $236.71, that was 86 cents higher. For the estimated daily slaughter under federal inspection, cattle slaughter was estimated at 109,000, that compared to 109,000 last week and 117,000 a year ago. Hog slaughter was estimated at 431,000, that compared to 431,000 last week and 416,000 a year ago. That concludes our livestock report. I'm Bob Reese with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Don't forget, deadlines are approaching for the 2014 Farm Bill Safety Net programs. The final day to update yields or reallocate base acres is February 27th, and the final day for farm owners and producers to elect a program is March 31st. Thursday was the West Central Illinois Agronomy Day at Lincoln Land Community College. Presentations covered a wide array of topics to help farmers tackle a variety of issues in the coming years. Clinical Assistant Professor at the University of Illinois, John Newton, spoke on grain pricing fundamentals, saying he's optimistic about the price of corn and soybeans, but that doesn't mean we will be seeing high prices for these crops.
What we talked about today was just fundamentals supporting higher grain prices, but unfortunately, like you said, I'm the bearer of bad news today. You know, coming out of the record price years we had in 10, 11, and 12, farmers across the U.S. responded by planting more acres and improving yields, such that in 2013 and 14, we had two back-to-back really big crop years. And what that's done is that's increased our supplies while our consumption patterns really haven't changed significantly. So while corn consumption remains at a very high level, it has plateaued. And while we're producing ethanol with the equivalent of about 5 billion bushels of corn per year, the back-to-back big crops has pushed supply to a point where prices naturally have to come down. Same thing on the soybean side. We had a record production of soybeans last year. Even though consumption has improved in both soybean exports and crush, it's still to the point where we're increasing our supply this marketing year. So the question is, how much do we plant next year? is there anything to really change consumption patterns to a higher level next year? And the answer is probably no. So absent a supply shock, likely outcome is prices decrease again next year because we have such a large carryout.
Newton says he's drawing confidence from consumption factors he sees remaining constant, which is allowing him to look to possible variations in supply for potentially higher prices.
So corn consumption, we have the renewable fuel standard. We're going to pull 5 billion bushels of corn off the balance sheet every year, despite any types of shocks to supply. On the soybean side, Chinese are importing the equivalent of 60 million acres of soybeans every single year. We are going to continue to be a soybean supplier to them and the rest of the world. So our soybean exports remains a firm consumption level that's going to always come off the balance sheet. So the place to find optimism for next year and going forward is any types of supply shocks. So whether it's 2 to 3 inches of rain in the Corn Belt or 2 to 3 degrees warmer in the Corn Belt, that can drive yield below expectations such that we have a shorter crop than we anticipate and we reduce our stock levels. And then that's when you would expect to see prices recover to a much higher level than what we have today.
But the hard truth all farmers are facing is that we're entering a time period of relatively low grain prices. Newton says three different groups have predicted grain prices out to 2019 with very similar results.
Those are price estimates from USDA, the Congressional Budget Office, and then the University of Missouri's FAPRI department. And they have corn, you know, out to 2019 in the $3.50 to $3.90 range. Again, that's below $4 a bushel. And on the soybean side, it's anywhere between $8 and $10 per bushel soybeans through 2019. But again, any type of supply shocks can push those prices higher.
Again, that was Clinical Assistant Professor at the University of Illinois, John Newton. The fields are still frozen and snow-covered, but farmers and researchers are already worrying about this growing season's weed environment. University of Illinois Weed Science Research Specialist Douglas Maxwell addressed the weed concerns for 2015.
Well, we're looking at several challenges, especially in this part of the state. They've seen resistance problems with water hemp, mare's tail, and maybe Palmer pigweed starting to come into the area. So we're going to touch on those most heavily and talk about multiple resistant modes. We're going to look at the history of resistance and how they've developed over the last 30 years and where we see that trend continuing. And we're going to specifically go over three or four of these troublesome weeds and kind of the most effective ways to manage those versus just treat them after they come up.
Is there a certain main weed that farmers in this area should really keep an eye on that could be getting worse and worse with every year that they might see getting worse this year?
Throughout this region, I'm sure they're very familiar with water hemp, and the problem with it is it's going to have multiple modes of action of resistance. In other words, 2, 3, 4 different herbicides will be resistant to in a single plant. That's our biggest problem. But the big thing we've been talking about in the last year is the Palmer pigweed, a very aggressive cousin that's more competitive than water hemp, but it's a very similar species as water hemp. So Palmer pigweed, we've been tracking that throughout the state. It grows very quickly. It can rob you of your profits very quickly. So that's another one that they need to look out for and how to identify.
And how do you recommend producers tackle these weeds once they spot them in their fields?
Well, if they do not feel comfortable identifying them and scouting for them, they really need to get somebody out there that can keep an eye on it, because everything we talk about today is going to involve treatments before these plants get to be 4 inches tall. Once they reach past 4 inches tall, many of the herbicides we can throw at them today are not going to be effective enough to provide complete control. So again, it's a management aspect. Try and keep them coming out of the ground with some residual herbicides and then treat them effectively post-emergence to get into the full crop canopy and protecting your yields.
And treating them when they're 4 inches or smaller can be a bit of a challenge because they grow so fast, right?
You're absolutely right. Water hemp, and especially Palmer pigweed, can grow 1 to 2 to 3 inches per day under ideal conditions. Certainly 7 days, if you have a sprayer breakdown or you get rained out with a couple of thunderstorm events, all of a sudden some of these weeds can be off-label and very tricky on whether it'll actually completely kill the weed or not. Then you'll have to come back in 7 to 10 days, check it all out, because you may need to retreat. And the last thing you want to do is have it regrow, take off, and make more seed, because you've just increased the chances of spreading that resistance or creating more resistance in that field right there from the get-go. So to stay on top of it is the number one thing we're trying to preach. Get your money up front so that maybe just a few weeds come out post-emergence instead of a whole bunch, you know, a whole train load of stuff coming out between the rows. Very difficult to treat that after you've smothered out with post-emergence.
And if the farmers who are gathered here today and listening to your presentation, if they only walk away with one piece of advice or information, what would you hope that that would be?
Stay on top of it. Stay on top of your management. Start learning these herbicides' modes of action and sites of action, or become quite familiar with someone that knows these certain skills, because identifying the weed and properly managing it is going to be the key, especially with the dollars now are very tight, so you need to know exactly where your herbicide dollars are going so you can protect that profit.
Again, that was University of Illinois Weed Science Research Specialist Douglas Maxwell. That's all for this morning's Farm Show. For WSMI, I'm Angela Besh. Thanks for tuning in.